Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Acts in chapter 1. Acts in chapter 1. Great football game on Friday night. Pickford played a great game. I kind of feel like you stole one in a lot of ways. You'll give glory to God for that and just take what comes next. And then what really blessed my heart was Lake State beating University of Michigan in hockey on Friday night. And Brother Bill is the voice of the Lakers down there, and he told me that I wasn't at the game last night and didn't fare as well last evening. That's kind of saddens my heart. It always does me good when you beat that big liberal university from Ann Arbor. Just kind of encourages me just a little bit. Acts in chapter 1. A lot of things don't go right in life, but I want you to know this. And if I can somehow make this message, it's God the Holy Spirit's got to make it live, but somehow make a connection to every New Testament Christian that is here. And it might be that you're here and you're not born again. You're here about Jesus. And this morning you have opportunity to come to Christ. And I pray and trust that you will. Acts in chapter 1, and I have preached this. I've been on a roll, and I preached this text on and off, different parts of the message and so forth, the last several weeks that I have been here. By the way, thank you, those of you that prayed while I was away. Down at Rochester Hills Baptist Church, had a wonderful church down there. Pastor Hal Hightower, he's been here many times to preach as an evangelist. The church is thriving. I want to say this and giving glory to God. I've been in two churches in the last month that are old-timey, New Testament Christianity kind of churches. They have a kneel at the altar, King James Bible. They have good standards, and both churches are thriving. I mean, First Baptist Church of Bridgeport, they're running 1,200 people right now. The preacher told me, he says, you know, we've had some big days. They have quite a heritage there, but man, this is about as good as it's been. You know, and they're bringing in 500 people on their buses. God is blessing them, and you can sense it when you're there among the people. And then Rochester Hills Baptist Church, what a big rebound. Brother Hal took that church, I think a year ago in January, and they were down to a couple of hundred people. Big, beautiful building. Facilities, if I could transplant, if somehow God would just move those facilities right here, because it's a huge auditorium, huge balcony, and it seats thousands of people. And they're back up. They've just about got the auditorium filled. They're not using the balcony yet, but I'm telling you, God is taking over, and he's looking for those few Philadelphia churches that are willing to follow the Bible and do it God's way. And God is blessing them. And I told both churches, men from both those churches, you know, I'm going to spread the news. It is refreshing to hear that there's a fundamental church standing for God, standing for the old time religion, not apologizing for the Bible, still having an altar call, singing the great songs of the faith instead of a boogie-woogie kind of music, and honoring God. And God is bringing souls to them. Just amazing. God's going to do more here too. I believe that with all of my heart. The church is God's idea. The New Testament church run the New Testament way. That is God's idea. That is the Philadelphia church. Let me read, just to get this started, verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, talking about the resurrection, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's all stand together one more time. I want to read two verses. Everybody standing. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And Luke there, Dr. Luke, was talking about the day of Pentecost. The day the Holy Spirit came down from heaven, came down to this earth, and baptized, immersed spiritually 3,000 people into the family of God. That was the day of Pentecost. They spoke in 15 different languages. All heard the gospel. God birthed the church on that very day. He indwelt, he baptized, he energized, he sealed the church of Jesus Christ. There doesn't need to be another Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is here. That was a one-time event, but he's still here. And he's looking for people and churches who are willing to be indwelt, immersed, who are willing to be full followers of Jesus Christ, and will be baptized with power from on high. Let's pray one more time. God bless the message this morning. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. The great hope of this age is the church of Jesus Christ. There is no plan B. If you're coming on Sunday night and you're hearing about the book of Revelation, you know, in the latter part of the 7 years of Jacob's trouble, the latter part of the tribulation, an angel actually preaches the gospel. He proclaims the righteousness of Christ because this earth is so devastated by the end of the 7 years. But this is the church age. God has one plan for reaching the world for Jesus Christ. It's the church. That's one plan. That is our responsibility. That weighs heavy on our shoulders. We don't have time to be over here playing games in the world. You don't have time to have one foot in the world and one foot trying to serve God. God is looking for a people that are all in. And the people that are all in, man, he's going to baptize them with power from on high. It isn't us getting more of the Holy Spirit. Not truthfully. If you're born again, Holy Spirit already indwells you. It's the Holy Spirit getting more of you. That's what it is. And that all being said, that describes the Philadelphia church as mentioned in Revelation in chapter 3. That church that is being used of God, and God has opened a door before them, even though they have limited resources, God is going to use them. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power. And you know that word power is the same word dynamic, dunamis, as the Greek word dynamite. Ye shall receive explosive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the Holy Spirit promising Pentecost. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Key word there is both. Little church in Jerusalem. Baby church. You're going to testify and you're going to witness and you're going to spread the gospel all over the world. That word both means it means this. It means in two places. Bigger than that, in all places. Jerusalem, that's the home church. Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth in every direction. And that word both talks also speaks of at the same time. Now, how would that be possible without mass media like we have today? In fact, it'd be pretty much impossible even today. And it is, humanly speaking, impossible. But you forget what we're talking about. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the power of heaven. I've got four verses in the New Testament we don't have time to look at this morning. I've preached it before, where it says in the first century, the church, the first century church, reached the whole world with the gospel. Every continent reached the whole world, not just the Mediterranean world, the whole world with the gospel. You say, preacher, how is that possible? God, the Holy Spirit. The power of God resting on his people. People that are sold out. And if you read Acts in chapter 2, the end of the chapter, and the first five chapters of the book of Acts, you'll find out the church of Jerusalem was sold out. They gave everything that they had. and beyond. In the passage, the Macedonian churches that Pastor Bill read about this morning for our text, they were an impoverished church, but they reached the whole world with the gospel. Their testimony went everywhere, the testimony of Jesus Christ. We are to be a mission-minded church. We are to be a church. Here's our calling. We can't run from it. We can't bury our head in the sand and say, just, you know, this little light of mine and just take care of my own little corner. We need to reach the whole world with Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, Fundamental Baptist Church in a rural county in the Upper Peninsula? You know, we've got a lot of people, but not compared to the world, not compared to everybody else that's out there. Reach the whole world by way of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Here's what we got to do. Let me read the verse one more time. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Number one, we've got to reach our Jerusalem. There's a lot of things that you and I can do. We all have different abilities. We have all been given platforms. There are certain people you hang out with that aren't saved that I'll never talk to one-on-one. And it's going to be, and it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. God has given you certain abilities. He's enabled you with certain gifts, and you are to use them for the gospel of Christ, for the glory of God. Think outside the box just a little bit. Even in the area of prayer, you could be an invalid, confined to your bed, and you can travel the world on your knees. You can lift up the names of God's servants and ask God to bless them in whatever country they are ministering in. We are to reach the whole world, but in order to reach the world, we've got to reach our Jerusalem. Okay, so this is part of my job as a pastor and part of your job. I live here. You live here. This is our Jerusalem. You've heard this said before by missionaries. The light that shines farthest shines brightest at home. And that's true. That's true in nature. The light that shines farthest, when you get right up to it, shines brightest at home. There are certain things that I'm called of God to do and be involved in the operation of right here in our Jerusalem. And I would tell you, let me speak to money for just a moment. And then I'll speak to spiritual things outside of money, and all you carnal people can start listening to me again, all right? And I say that tongue in cheek. Man, we're a giving church. I know that. I was reminded of that this morning. Not the person you would think would come up with that kind of money. I think, oh, God's an amazing God. And at the same time, just like Brother Hal said, he's got all those millionaires in his church, and some of them don't even tithe. What's that about? Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Can't get away from this. There might be one person here that thinks Pastor Rader's all about money. You're a fool. Can I tell you that? That is not what my life is about at all. That is not what this ministry is about. But New Testament Christianity is wrapped up in giving. No doubt about it. That's why these things are here. God uses his people, and all the facility is here, and all the ministry is here. It's just God looking for people. But even if you never give God a love offering, you understand that tithing is your responsibility. You say, oh, that's the law. And I just simply tell you real quickly, no, Abraham tithed 430 years before the law. It has nothing to do with the law. And tithing is baby steps. You say, 10% of my income is baby steps. You see, you're looking at it all wrong-headed if you're thinking that's a lot of money. Because number one, you wouldn't have the job you have or the health you have without God. God has put that on your plate, and he said, now, I want you to trust me, and I want you to just simply give me 10% for the operation of the temple, for the operation of the New Testament. I want you to simply give me 10%, and I'm going to bless you bigger than 10%. You just have to believe me on that, all right? God, I'm going to say this before I read the 10th verse. Everybody look up here, look right at me. I'm talking about church members. God doesn't need your money. Fundamental Baptist Church doesn't need your money. Heaven doesn't operate on the U.S. dollar. That's not how it works. So what it is this tithing is a teaching tool. God says, we're going to read it here, one of the 700 verses referring to money in the Bible. We're going to read it here. God says, if you will have just enough faith, I want you to be part of the ministry. I want you to be involved in the reaching of the world for Christ. If you will just give, you just bring my part, 10%. You keep your part, 90%. You bring it and you put it in the offering, I will bless you bigger than 10%. And I'll testify to that. Look what it says in the 10th verse. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that's a local church, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. It's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. Test me. It's tangible. You'll be able to see it. Test me, and you'll see that there's a God in heaven, if you're saved, that's going to take care of you and meet your need. Tithing is just the beginning. Tithing is just the baby steps. It's going to sound like I'm bragging. Boy, I apologize to any visitor that's here that might think this. I haven't preached on money in a year. I don't. I mean, once a year, all right? Debbie and I are able to give 23% of our weekly income to the Lord. I found out, and when I was paid $25 a week by Fundamental Baptist Church back in 1981, we tithed back then too. And I found out that God is good. And I found out that God is not limited to my little piggy bank. And he's going to take care of me. And he blessed me. He opens doors. It's amazing. Agricultural society back here in Malachi. And he said, I'll hold back the devourer. Those birds that come and take the seed out of the fields, I'll hold them back from your field if you'll just honor me. I'll open you a window. I'll open you the windows of heaven, and there'll not be room enough to receive it. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter in chapter 1. Verse 18, I spent more time on that than I wanted to. But I want to say this about your giving. God is not concerned with the amount you give. You are not more important to God. If your tithe is $100, you're not more important to God than that person over there whose tithe is $5. God is not concerned with how much you give. You can't buy grace. You can't buy salvation. Heaven is not for sale. Look what it says here in verse 18. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain or empty conversation received by tradition from your heart, from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, saved by the blood of Christ. Look at down there, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You can't buy salvation. God is not concerned with the amount of money that you give. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses. That is not how it works. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need my money. As a matter of fact, in Leviticus in chapter 27, they tithed in kind. Okay, they didn't have an economy like we have today. It's easy to tithe today. You just figure out dollars and cents. That's pretty easy. And don't cheat God. Don't rob him. That's what Malachi 3 says. Don't rob God. That's a mistake. Don't play mind games with God. He says, but they tithed in kind. If they had a bushel of corn, if they had 10 bushels of corn, they brought one bushel of corn to the temple. They tithed in kind. That was, if they had 10 chickens, they brought one chicken to the temple. That's how it works. We've gotten all kinds of offerings here at Fundamental Baptist Church. Hadn't always been money. Livestock. I mentioned chickens. We did get a chicken one time. I remember that. That was a long time ago. And if you're raising chicken, keep your chickens at home. All right. just bring the equal value. That'd be good. God is concerned with the proportion. Go to 1 Corinthians 16. I'm preaching this morning on reaching our Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. Verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have written order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, what day of the week is that? That's Sunday, first day of the week. That's the Lord's day. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, how many are supposed to be giving? Everybody, even your little children. Teach them to tithe. Teach them to tithe from their heart, honestly. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. That speaks of a proportion. The only proportion mentioned anywhere in the Word of God is a tithe. That means 10%. That there be no gatherings when I come. And there's a lot of scripture we could look at here. We could look at the scripture that Pastor Bill read, but let's go over to 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verses 6 and 7. So we got who, that's everybody, when, first day of the week, what, the proportion, the tithe. Here's what God's concerned about. Your heart. Your heart. You see, if you give begrudgingly, if you bring the tithe to the storehouse begrudgingly, that's not worship. God doesn't want your money. I'll tell you again, as the pastor here, as clear as plain as I can. If that's your heart, keep your stinking money. Keep it. You could die with it. That's up to you. Or you can be involved in the work of God. It says here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, verse 6, shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I'm not grinding an axe this morning. I'm not mad at anybody. There's nobody here that I know. As far as I know, you're all tithe. That's far as I know, all right? I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything secondhand. I don't know any of that. I'm just telling you that God doesn't need your money. If you're stupid enough to try to live without God, go ahead. Good luck with your finances. Good luck, all right? But and by the way, and God, when he says he opens the windows of heaven, it's more than money. It's things far richer, far deeper. It's family stuff. It's children. It's jobs. It's joy. It tells us here in this passage, not grudgingly, as he purposeth in his heart, not grudgingly. Now, some people, if in another dimension, if in the spiritual realm, they can hear things that we can't hear. And it says, God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, if they can hear our hearts, some of us will squeeze a nickel till it screams when it comes to putting it in the offering plate. Now, buying a cup of coffee at Starbucks, that's different. But, you know, putting it in the offering plate, it's like we're tipping God. It's like we're doing him a big favor. I'm thinking, that's wrong. He says, God loveth a cheerful giver. Some New Testament, some churches, when they take the offering, it probably, to the angels, probably sounds like a horror chamber with all the screaming that's going on. Pastor Boris Karloff up front, you know, and just torturing everybody. It's offering time, you know. And God loveth a cheerful, the word cheerful is hilarious. I get to be part of the work of God. I get to give more than the tithe. Man, I get to be invested. I get to invest in souls. I get to lay up treasures in heaven. I get to support that missionary. Man, that's pretty exciting. God loveth a cheerful giver. God is looking for people who are willing to reach their Jerusalem. The light that shines farthest shines brightest at home. Meet in the storehouse. What else? Go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark in chapter 16 and verse 15. There's ways we're called of God to give. Verse 14 says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. They're at the table, they're eating. Jesus appears to them. And he upbraided them. He upbraided them. They were showing little faith. He called them on it. That's probably a gambling term, isn't it? I probably shouldn't. He called them on it is what he did, all right? With their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Some of them were doubting the resurrection. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I would tell you this. Pray. Travel the world on your knees. Pray for the unsaved in our Jerusalem. Pray for the lost all over the world. Pray for our missionaries. Be bold. Man, get out of your boat. Walk on the water. Be bold. Stand for God. Grow a little backbone. I see so little boldness in the family of God. Everybody's afraid to stand out. Maybe, I don't know, afraid of persecution. When's the last time you heard somebody get shot in Michigan for standing for Christ? Now, I know we had a missionary get shot, and he was a good missionary over in Africa. That was a week ago, wasn't it? It can happen, but man, be a soldier. Show a little backbone. Be a bold witness. Give. That's what I mentioned all the way up to this point. Luke chapter 6. You'll receive, pressed down. It'll run over. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. God will never cheat you. And running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. So I'm talking with other pastors, good men, like the two I just mentioned, the two churches. They have observed what I have observed. There aren't a lot of Philadelphia churches anymore. But the ones that are there, they're growing. They're going for God. God has opened the windows of heaven. Some of them, they believe the devil's lie. They drink the Kool-Aid and say, well, if we compromise, if we do this, if we do that, we'll get a bigger crowd. And they get a bigger crowd for 6 months, and then they're done. Then they can't backtrack. Be bold in your witness for Christ. He'll bless you. And ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's happened. Pentecost. And ye shall be witnesses. Dynamite, supernatural power. And you'll be able to testify in Jerusalem. Both in Jerusalem. Judea, the outskirts. Samaria. And under the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus is coming very soon. We get to be part of something big. We're not a perfect church. Neither are those perfect churches. I was down there, right? But you honor God. He'll honor you. Our biggest burden, the whole world. But in order to reach the whole world, Jerusalem. If the light isn't on here, it won't go anywhere. If we're not here holding the ropes, what are those missionaries going to do? And ye shall receive power. Boy, I hunger for that. Power. Change lives. The redemption of souls. People who are sinners, that's everybody on earth, being redeemed, getting born again, adopted into the family of God. It might be that you're here this morning, you're not sure that when you die, you're going to heaven. And you might be wondering, man, I don't know what this is all about. I don't know what eternity is all about. I know there's a heaven. I believe the Bible. There's a heaven. I know there's a hell. I believe the Bible. I believe what Jesus said. But I don't know how I can go to heaven. And I want to know for sure. I got good news for you. His name is Jesus. He is the bridge to heaven. He's the one that will adopt you into the family of God. He's the one, His blood, He's the one that will wash away all your sin. All you need to do is come to Him. Right here, right now.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.